If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Oh, man, I think that song was in the movie American Pie, which I watched the other day, which is just hilarious. It was in American Pie. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide getting the app at 810WHB.com on a snowy day in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Just not all that fun. So kind of a first for us here on the weekend show. I was trying to get to the studio this morning and went sideways down the street. So we were able to hook up the app so I can broadcast from my kitchen window, which is great. We are joined now in this hour. By the way, my name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. And our guest right now is Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Riley, how are the streets in Manhattan, Kansas?
They're not clear. they're not great to me. I can promise you that. But yeah, it's a little snowy, and there was no snow on the ground when I went to bed, and I went to bed pretty late last night because of the game. So it was a little shocked when I woke up this morning, to say the least.
Well, I always have that thought, like, if there's a thunderstorm in the middle of the night, then I'll be able to, you know, I'll be awake and I'll see what's happening. But when it's snowing, it's quiet. And then you wake up to the surprise of 2 or 3 inches of snow on your street or your driveway.
Yeah, not great. Not great at all.
Well, let me start you out with this. So I was talking with Chris Bollig, our producer, earlier today, and I was very happy with the fact that the Big 12 schedule for yesterday set up with the kind of the staggered timelines, where KU starts off at 11, and then, you know, Texas Tech is playing later at like 1 or 2, and K-State is playing at 7 o'clock. And I just got to wonder, you know, for K-State in particular, having to sit there all day knowing that KU was able to survive against Oklahoma State and knowing that they had to win against Baylor, that had to be a huge weight on the players' and coaches' minds. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. From your perspective, was it kind of a huge thing?
I think that it probably was a factor, no doubt. But also, I don't think they played that much about, you know, with that mindset. But also at the same time, I think maybe it benefited them a little bit. You know, let's say KU lost to Oklahoma State yesterday, or you know, maybe Texas Tech lost or whatever. And K-State saw that before it took the floor. You know, the players go out there kind of maybe a little bit not as focused, because, you know, they know they have a cushion. Well, you know, hey, we can lose today and it's still going to be okay. So, you know, I think it's a little bit both sides of the coin there. And but I mean, I'm sure it did influence the game a little bit. But at the end of the day, they knew they just needed to go take care of business. It didn't really matter what the other people did. And that's kind of what the mindset is right now, is it doesn't really matter what other people do. It's all about you.
I agree 100%. We're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Riley_Gates. And look, there's going to be a lot of things made about this game, and Dean Wade is going to be a big story. But I gotta wonder, as you are watching the game unfold, and Barry Brown was so ice cold from the floor, what that kind of how that factored into the game, that Barry Brown, who's in my opinion the best defender in the Big 12, but the fact that he couldn't get some shots to go in, how much did that affect the game?
Yeah, you know, Barry Brown is no doubt in a bit of a weak a rough week here. Tough games against KU and now against Baylor. And it hurts because you need him to be putting up those numbers because he's been your consistent piece. You know, Dean Wade has not been consistent this season. Kamal Stokes has not been consistent. Now, they both played phenomenally yesterday, and that was huge for K-State. But Barry's been the guy that you can always look to and say, well, we know he's going to play well. We know he's going to put up points. He's going to be effective. And unfortunately, he wasn't in this game. Now, it's not a huge concern to me in terms of, like, moving forward because I think that's all it is just a rough stretch right here. He just had a couple bad games. Unfortunately, it might cost him Big 12 Player of the Year. I don't know. We'll see. But I do think that this – I do think it was a little bit concerning for these two games just because he has been so consistent, like I said, and the reliable person has not been so reliable. But I fully expect him to bounce back. I think he'll play well against TCU and Oklahoma next week, and then who knows in the postseason. I mean, anything can happen.
We're speaking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. K-State gets a big win last night, maintains their lead along with Texas Tech in the Big 12. The encouraging thing for me, Riley, was that when Barry Brown was having an off night, he played 40 minutes and got his 10 points, but he also fought to get 7 rebounds and 4 assists. So it's not like he was non-existent. But when you have Xavier Sneed step up with 14 points in 22 minutes, when you have Kamal Stokes step up with 16 points and 4 rebounds, that tells me that if you're in a tough battle in the NCAA tournament and your star player or one of your star players is having an off night, you have other guys who can step up.
Yeah, man, that's the big thing. And that it doesn't matter if Barry Brown scores 30 points a game in the NCAA tournament. If the other guys aren't contributing in a way, they're going to lose the game. I mean, obviously, you can't just have one guy go out there and play well. So it's incredibly encouraging and a really, really positive sign that they're getting contributions from other guys than only Barry Brown. And Barry Brown can afford to have this very bad week of games. And yet, you know, we've seen K-State find a way to win against Baylor. And, you know, I just think it's the perfect time of year for these guys to be doing it. You know, Kamal Stokes is having a phenomenal senior year after, if I'm being honest with you, his career has been, I would probably say, average. I mean, he hasn't been anything special, and he's really struggled with turnovers a lot in his career. And this year I've seen him play as good as I've seen him play in 4 seasons. And Xavier Sneed is finally becoming a little bit of a shooter, which is really good to see because he just has not been effective shooting the ball this season, last season, you know, minus the NCAA tournament game against Kentucky. So it's a huge positive for this team that they're getting those contributions from other teams, and they're doing so at the perfect time because the Big 12 tournament is right around the corner, and then obviously the NCAA tournament. And this is when you really want to be clicking as a team.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. And Riley, the big story, which I've held off on, but we'll get into it now, is Dean Wade. And look, I've followed you on Twitter and Fitz and everybody over at GoPowerCat.com. And before every game, you guys tweet out, well, you know, Dean Wade is not, you know, he's not jumping too high. He's not taking any dunks in pregame. But when it comes down to the game itself, he steps up. And so Dean Wade last night played 39 minutes with his 20 points and 4 rebounds. It's phenomenal that a guy is that dedicated to, okay, I'm not 100%. I can't give it my all in practice. I can't give it my all in pregame. But when the game starts, I'm there, and I'm going to be there. And I think it was a phenomenal performance last night by Dean Wade.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, I was kind of shocked. 39. I knew he played a lot. I didn't know it was that much.
Yes.
For me, the biggest thing is that he's had games where he regressed. KU, he went into hiding. You know, he obviously went into foul trouble, but he was pretty ineffective against KU, and he needed a big bounce back game. And he came out aggressive. He came out shooting right away. He came out looking to get involved, and that was big for me. And this is why, and I might upset some K-State fans with this comment, but this is why I don't allow people to say, oh, he's a little dinged up when he has a bad game, because we know he can play like this. we know that even though he's battling with some injuries at times, he can still be an effective player. He can still get shots to fall. He can still influence the game in multiple different ways. So I got to be, you know, if he goes down to TCU tomorrow and he has a struggling game, I'm not going to allow him to say, oh, he's injured, because I've seen him put up 20 points against Baylor while he's injured. So I think it's obviously positive. You've got a healthy-ish Dean Wade right now, and that's good moving forward. But you just need this consistently. You cannot – in the postseason, you cannot have him going into hiding kind of like he has in some games this year. Otherwise, K-State might see the season come to an end quicker than it wants to see it.
And how – you know, with – how important was it last night? You know, Baylor was playing well. They came off a huge – come from behind victory earlier in the week. And so they, you know, Baylor comes in with a ton of momentum, and, you know, K-State got out to a, you know, big lead at certain points, but Baylor kept it close. How important was it for K-State to be able to fight back and put that stamp on that win, as in terms of we're fighting for the Big 12 championship here and we don't care what Baylor did, you know, just a handful of days ago?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, mathematically, it's huge because you get that win and you keep the lead in the league. But for me, it goes to speak to how experienced, how much of a veteran team these guys are, and it shows that that's what's going to get them over the hump in some games. You know, K-State of 2 years ago would have lost that game. Heck, maybe even K-State of last year might have lost that game. But this team, when it faces adversity like that, it's not going to crumble. It's not going to fall down, you know. And it was discouraging. Don't get me wrong. I think that's a little bit of a red flag that, you know, they went on a 17-0 run in the first half, had a 13-point lead, and yet they were only up two
yes.
at the break. That's not good for me to see. But, however, I am impressed that they battled back. I am impressed that they had the mental fortitude to come back and make it a game that I know it wasn't decided mathematically. They wasn't done by any means, but I also didn't see a world in where Baylor was coming back after about the 5 minute mark. So this team's maturity is really, really good. It's obviously going to allow them to, or at least it should allow them to have some postseason success as we inch closer and closer. And I guess that's what you need the biggest. You need your seniors stepping up. You need all three of them. You need Xavier Sneed, and fortunately, I think they're in the right mindset in the right place to where they probably will get that type of production.
When you talk about mindset, how much of this is just winning it for themselves, and how much of this is we want to end KU's 14-year winning streak of the conference championship?
If I'm being honest with you, I think that's more the fans because, you know.
And that's fair.
That K-State. Yeah, I think K-State's mindset is we want to win the Big 12 and we want to do it outright. So, yeah, I mean, technically ending the streak is on their minds, but it's not about just ending the streak. It's about winning the Big 12 and doing it without tying it. Now, obviously, they've hurt themselves a little bit, and Texas Tech can still tie them if they continue to win out. But this isn't, you know, I don't think anybody was sitting there watching the KU game yesterday on K-State's team, sitting there hoping, oh, you know, if they lose, they'll probably be out and the streak will be dead. No, that's just something to this team that's going to come as an added bonus if they take care of business and win the Big 12. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be real blunt. If K-State does not win the Big 12 conference, doesn't win at least a share of it, it's a huge disappointing season. I mean, there's no reason that they shouldn't have the share. There's no reason they shouldn't end the streak, because these are two very winnable and almost easy, I guess I would say, games. You know, the only reason I'm not totally comfortable with TCU is because it's on the road, but there's no excuse to lose to Oklahoma at home without a doubt. And I think that they should win in Fort Worth as well. So, you know, I think that the bar is set and rightfully so. It's set pretty high. So they know what the expectations are, and now they just got to go take care of business.
We're speaking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. K-State with a big win last night over Baylor after watching Kansas and Texas Tech get wins yesterday. You know, you talked about if they don't win, it'd be a disappointment. And going into the season with Dean Wade and Barry Brown, this would be kind of a crowning achievement, so to speak, for Bruce Weber. And I don't want to put too much on him, but I mean, this would be kind of the top of the crown for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is his payoff, you know, for everything that happened with the total downfall, you can say firestorm, I guess, that this program was in. When the Marcus Foster debacle happened and everything was going south.
It seems like it happens every year, just about, by the way.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a program that was in the dumps. Bruce Weber was essentially a dead man walking. I mean, this was not supposed to happen a few years back. But, you know, he fielded this class together. These are all his guys. These are guys that he went out and found. Yeah, I guess with the exception of Dean Wade, that one was kind of a given. You know, I think if it could pay off in terms of winning a Big 12 championship, he gets that stigma off of his back, you know, the fact that he only won with Frank Martin's players a few years back. Well, now he
might
win it with his own. And I think that's huge. Now, in terms of moving forward after this year, you got to have continued success. And if you're a K-State fan, I would say that you shouldn't settle for a rebuilding year. I mean, K-State should be, I don't want to say they should be expecting a conference championship every year, but they should be expecting to be a good team every year that battles in that upper half, that can push for a conference championship every single year. So after this year, the bar shouldn't go lower, but you definitely have to meet the bar this year, and I think that they will. I think that they can, and man, what an achievement that would be for these players, for these coaching staff, this coaching staff, everybody involved. That would just be huge.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. We're speaking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. You can follow him on Twitter, @Riley_Gates. When you're heading towards the Big 12 tournament, there's been criticism of KU over the years that, you know, the Big 12 tournament doesn't mean that much because they're going to get a good seed. But for K-State, what is the approach for the Big 12 tournament coming up this year? I mean, regardless if they win the regular season championship or not.
I mean, I think that the expectation should be to win the thing. You've beaten every team in this conference. There's no reason you can't go out and beat.
And you've beaten most of them on the road, right?
Right. I mean, you know, KU and Texas Tech, they're the two top teams alongside K-State, and those are two road games that you lost. But you lost to Texas Tech without Dean Wade and Kamal Stokes. Well, I guess he played some, but very, very, very dinged up. And you lost to KU and Allen Fieldhouse, which, as we know, KU is a totally different team away from Allen Fieldhouse this year. So I think the expectation should be to win the whole thing. You know, I think it's a team that can do it. And if you're ever going to do it, it's going to be this year. Now, if you go and lose in a championship game or you have a tough-fought semifinal game and you can't get it done, I mean, nobody's going to be upset, I don't think, because everybody in the Big 12 is good. But this is the team that's going to do it. And, you know, as my high school basketball coach once said, well, we're here, why don't we win the whole dang thing?
So, right.
That's what I would tell K-State. You know, if you're going to be there and you're going to be a top one or two seed, just go win the thing.
Because we all look at, you know, from a media perspective, from a fan perspective, we all look at Joe Lunardi and bracketology and, you know, the other, you know, bracket predictors that are out there. Does it matter where K-State is, or is this just a team that's focused on one game at a time? Because last year, I mean, let's be honest, last year we were stunned by how far K-State went, and it was fun to watch. Is K-State even concerned about that stuff, or is just wherever we are is where we are, and whoever we play is who we play?
Yeah, I mean, that's the mindset that the team is in, no doubt about it. But people like us, we can sit here and worry about it. And, you know,
because it makes for great talk radio fodder.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that you should want to see K-State in the top four line. Obviously, it positions them well. And I don't like sitting on a five seed line. I don't know. It just makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yes.
But, you know, but a 13 always beats a 4 and a 12 always beats a 5, I guess. So
yes. Whenever I do my bracket, I pick whenever I do my bracket, I pick a 12 over a 5, probably 4 out of 4 times.
So, yeah, I mean, look, everybody's going to draw some sort of matchup that you can probably point to and say, oh, that's not a great one, or, you know, we don't like being here, whatever. The main concern for K-State is keep winning, so that way, A, you can be as high of a seed as you can be, which obviously is going to favor you, and B, you're going to get a local spot, hopefully. You know, maybe they'll be in Tulsa or maybe they'll be in Des Moines for the first two rounds, and if the NCAA gives them what they deserve. Because, honestly, if they win the Big 12 and they're not in the Midwest region, I got a nice way to put this that I can't say on the radio. That's some home cooking if K-State's not in the Midwest region if they win the Big 12. And because you know KU's going to be there. KU's definitely going to be there, I feel like. So K-State deserves to be in the Midwest region. K-State deserves to be playing in Kansas City in the Sweet 16 if it gets there. But all of the K-State can worry about right now is just keep winning, control what you can control, and everything else will fall into place.
All right, final question for you. We're speaking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Riley_Gates. Final question for you. For K-State, will they win a Big 12 championship outright? Will they share a Big 12 championship with another team, be it Texas Tech or KU? Or will they collapse in the last couple of games and not win it?
What a great question, right? And as we know,
right?
Everything that I say is always right. I'm never wrong.
right.
But I'm going to be honest. I think K-State will win the last two. So I believe that K-State will finish the Big 12 season at 14-4, which is going to get them at least a share. Obviously that would take KU out of the mix, so I don't think they're going to share with KU. And as I sit here and look at Texas Tech's schedule, I like what they have tomorrow night for them. You know, they got Texas at home, so I don't see them losing to Texas, especially in Lubbock. And then it comes down, obviously, to that Iowa State game in Ames with Texas Tech and Iowa State. And that's an Iowa State team that could either shoot the cover off the ball or they could play poorly. And I think they've lost two of their last three or two of their last four, something like that, at home. So it's very possible that K-State could win this thing outright. But if I'm a betting man, if I'm going on my gut, I'm going to say that they're sharing it with Texas Tech. I think that Chris Beard's team is playing exceptionally well right now, and as is K-State. So I see it ending in a two-way tie, and I don't see KU in that mix, which I know would make a lot of people happy.
Well, a shared title is just fine. Any title is a good title. When you can put a trophy in the case, that's fine. So that's good stuff. Hey, Riley, I thank you very much for taking your time on this snowy Sunday morning to join us and talk K-State and Big 12 basketball. Enjoy the rest of your day, and hopefully you don't have to get out and travel too far.
Oh, yeah, I'm always happy to join you. So hopefully I can catch you in Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament. We can catch up.
Definitely, we will do that. Thank you very much. That is Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Riley_Gates. And, of course, get all the good K-State basketball and football and all the sports information at GoPowerCat.com. It's all good stuff. We will take a quick timeout. Coming up next, we're going to talk Sporting Kansas City. The season starts tonight. I know. We've had two Champion Leagues. I don't know how you say that correctly. Two games already in which Sporting KC has played very well. But opening up the season tonight.
CONCACAF Champions League.
Yes, CONCACAF. Well, I was trying to figure out how to say Champions League, Champion Leagues.
Champions League. There's an S on it.
Okay. Yes, it goes back to an old line from the TV show MASH. So thank you very much, Chris, for correcting me, which you should do because I was wrong. So two games already in the books, but the Major League Soccer season starts tonight in Southern California against LAFC. We will talk with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. That's coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter on this snowy Sunday day in Kansas City. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, Chris Bowlegg, you picked the perfect song to kick off our next segment. No, let it roll. You're listening to there you go. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Snow covered, as it were. I think the sun is trying to peek out just a little bit. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Chris Bowlegg is running the show. You can follow him at Chris underscore Bowlegg, B-O-L-L-I-G. And we're talking soccer now, which is great because my team internationally is Liverpool, and they're playing right now, and I can't watch them because I'm doing the radio show. So, Chris, do you have an international team? Some guys don't. I know Beards does not care.
I like soccer a lot. Like, I'll watch every, you know, anytime I get a chance, like Champions League, whatnot, and everything. I don't really have a team because I don't really feel like I have an emotional attachment. Like, I like certain players, and I like to watch certain teams.
Oh, come on!
Okay. I didn't, like, grow up in, you know, North London or wherever, you know. A lot of Liverpool or Brighton Hove Albion, or, you know, I didn't grow up in those places. I don't feel like I have an emotional attraction, you know, attachment to any of the teams.
Right. Well, my attachment to Liverpool, that is my team. So many years ago when I started in television, we got to do a road trip to Sweden. We got paid by a former player from Manchester United to come over and film some youth soccer games and make a video. And the final game of the night was Liverpool against Gothenburg, which is the big team in the town in Sweden where I was. And so I became infatuated with Liverpool, and that's where my allegiance lies. And today is our big game, our derby game against Everton. And Rudy Salazar, Rudy Saladbar, if you will, is a big Everton fan. So I'm trying to get him to bet on the game today. We are joined now on the line by Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. And Andy, if I remember correctly, you are a big Tottenham fan. Is that right?
Yeah, you're correct on that. And I will also say, to kind of the effect of what you guys were just talking about there, being, you know, from there or having never experienced those things, it really does make a big difference when you go over and, you know, see some of these places and the communities that these clubs are in when they're so well established.
Yes.
100 and 150 years old almost at this point. We had an experience a couple of years ago, and I'll keep this brief, and just a couple of weeks ago as well, we went back, a small club in West London called Brentford. 12,000 seat stadium, 130-year-old stadium or so. They're coming up on the last year or two before they move into a new building, and the stadium is literally in a neighborhood. There's houses around the stadium, on the other side of the street of the stadium. It's just, it's dead center in a neighborhood that you would just walk up and down the street, walk your kids to school every single day. And that, to me, had a really cool sense of community about what the club was. And ever since we went the first time a couple of years ago, I felt a real, you know, affinity, I'll say, not a fandom or a supportership, because I won't try to claim any of those words, but a real affinity towards that, having experienced that and kind of had my eyes opened to what it is in other parts of the world versus kind of the U.S. sports model, where it's franchises and they're, you know, these big billion-dollar entities, and it's all about making money and commercialized the way that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're speaking with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com, who covers Sporting Kansas City and the entirety of Major League Soccer. And yeah, I fell in love with Liverpool when I watched them the first time, because Major League Soccer was just getting its, I guess, sea legs, so to speak. and I saw Robbie Fowler play and a couple of those guys, Paul Ings, and I was like, this is a game that I haven't seen before. It was different, but that was, you know, that was 20-something years ago. So, Andy, this is it. Sporting KC is having an odd start to the season. They've had to play two Champions League games, CONCACAF Champions League games early, and totally smoked Toluca from Mexico. 3-0 here in Kansas City, Kansas, and 2-0 down at altitude in Mexico. So it's kind of an odd start to the season that tonight is the Major League season debut in Southern California against LAFC. But it's a good start and a good momentum booster and a good confidence booster that Sporting did so well against Toluca.
Completely agree with that there. And I think a lot of people have kind of tried to focus a different way with having the Champions League before the regular season starts, and then having two additional games coming up over the next couple of weeks in the midweek with league games sandwiched around them on the weekends and everything. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a congestion of games early on, and it's going to be a little wear on some of the legs. But you've got a deep squad for a reason. It's probably the deepest that it's ever been. Now it's on Peter Vermes to really utilize some of the pieces that he's gone out and kind of amassed over the last couple of years. But I also think from a confidence standpoint and just from a kind of a progression standpoint, where they are in their season and I guess coming out of preseason is going to be a much, much higher level than any of the teams that they're going to face in league play over the first month or so of the season, because they've already got two more games. By the time they get a couple more weeks down the road, they'll have four more games than anybody else. And so from a sharpness standpoint,
right,
and kind of figuring out the rotations a little bit, what works, what doesn't, and just kind of having gone through some battles early on in the season, it's going to bring that team together just a little bit. And obviously, it's a lot of guys that have been together for a long time. And so, the team bonding aspect isn't, a huge issue for them. But just having been there already so early in the season, I think it's really going to set the tone for what this team can do over the course of a 34-game regular season, the U.S. Open Cup, the playoffs down the road, because they were pretty, I think, pretty handily the best team in the Western Conference in 2018. They didn't get worse this offseason. I mean, you can make a case that losing Ike Opara and a couple guys at center forward from a familiarity standpoint, I guess, could be a bit of a loss. But they added a few guys as well. And so I think the potential to be even better in 2019 than they were in 2018 is there. And they've really had to start the season quickly. And I think they're really going to benefit from that.
We're speaking with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. He covers Sporting Kansas City and Major League Soccer here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One of the things, Andy, I found interesting was after the match in Toluca, which is, what, about 45 minutes outside of Mexico City, Johnny Russell came off the field and got a standing ovation, and the crowd in Mexico applauded Sporting KC. And in terms of, measuring how far Major League Soccer has come, I think that's a big sign. Maybe you can tell me if I'm overestimating it a little bit, but that's a big sign. If a big club in Mexico is giving a standing ovation to a player and a team from Major League Soccer, to me, that's a big step forward in where Major League Soccer has come over the last 20 to 25 years.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're overstating that too terribly much. I think that if you look around the league, around MLS, and you say, these are kind of the very well-established bearers of the league, the teams that you want to carry the torch and go out to other places in the world and kind of represent the league and try to set a good name. I think if you look at what Sporting have done since 2011 when they rebranded and the new stadium and everything, they're one of the four or five teams that I think you would probably put on a short list of teams, say, okay, go out to the rest of the world and show the world what MLS is. And so it's not really a surprise that they kind of seem to be at the forefront of, maybe changing some opinions about MLS. I think that trying to do that in North and Central America first before kind of convincing the rest of the world with Europe and South America is probably a pretty good place to start, a little bit closer to home. But it's also not a surprise from the standpoint of this team has such a body of work over nearly a decade now, and the consistency that they have been in the playoffs every single year for almost a decade now, the trophies that they've won for almost over a decade now. This is just the minimum almost expectation as far as Peter Vermes and his coaching staff are concerned. And they do this to teams pretty regularly where they don't just beat them, but they kind of suck the will to live out of opposing teams.
They crush them, right?
They absolutely do. They're very ruthless in a way that you certainly don't look forward to playing against them the week coming up because there's so much that you've got to prepare for and you know you're in for a real fight. But then once you get on the field, the reality of just how hard that fight is sets in, and it's relentless. It is absolutely relentless, and it never, ever, ever stops. Over the last couple of years, there's kind of there's a running joke going on that Sporting Kansas City are coach killers. Four or five coaches over the last two or three years have been fired after not just losing to them, not just being beaten handily by multiple goals, but by seeing teams essentially quit on their coach against them because they just had the life beaten out of them and they had no will to continue to fight on the field. That is just, nothing could better explain Peter Vermes as a player during his playing career and as a person and now as a coach than just wanting to take the will to live and compete out of his opponent. And he has a team now that by extension of him and everything that he has prepared them for and that he has coached into them functions very, very similarly in that way.
And it makes me laugh because when U.S. soccer was going through their hiring process, I think we all knew the fix was in for Greg Berhalter, and that's fine. I hope he does well. I root for him, and if we miss the next World Cup, I'm going to riot. But Peter Vermes would have been the perfect guy, and I would hate to see him leave Sporting Kansas City, but it just would have been the better choice. But I digress. When you're talking about the depth for Sporting Kansas City, and they have the big match tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 7:30 against LAFC. I was looking. I'm kind of looking at the window right now. I think we were all, a little bit sad that Ike Opara left, but we understand he's older and he's injured. But I'm looking at some of the star players on the team. And believe me, I've known Matt Beisler since he was a kid. I've known Seth Sinovic since he was a kid. I've known Roger Espinoza since he came here when he was basically a kid. And they're all right around 32 years old. Is this a window right now for Sporting Kansas City, or is there something there that reaches beyond this?
It's really tough to say because I think for the past couple of years a lot of people have been wondering that same thing, and they've continued to just kind of roll along and continue to have success and not really have their levels drop, whether individually or as a collective unit. So I think they've got plenty of time. They're on much more team friendly deals now. Roger and Beisler and Graham Zusi as well, who you can throw into that mix of guys who've been around for a decade now. Once again, the great thing that Vermes has always done is he's always had an eye towards what the team is currently and what the team will be 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. So even when maybe some of those levels for some of those guys start to drop just a little bit, there's going to be plenty of quality right behind them that's then pushing them for those minutes on the field that can slot in and everything. So there's depth for this season, there's depth for the future, there's a current team, there's a future team. It has all been thought out and planned for and put together by Peter Vermes.
Hey, Andy, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And boy, I know the season is off to a weird start with Champions League and CONCACAF and two games in the books, but the official regular season for Major League Soccer starts tonight at 7:30 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Andy, I thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. I want to tell all of our listeners, follow Andy at Andy Ed MLS, and follow him on NBCSports.com. Andy, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brad. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that is Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com, Sporting KC, starting tonight. Cannot wait. All right, quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show back at the studio, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Final segment here for Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. It's a snow-covered Sunday morning. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show at the studio. I am actually hosting the studio from my kitchen because I couldn't get down my street this morning. The sun is coming out now. Chris, are you okay over there in Overland Park? Everything clear?
Made it in fine this morning, 6:30. Do some sports psych hour with Dr. Andy Jacobs, and got to meet Mitch Morse. That was pretty cool.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was a good morning. Got in all right, safe and sound. So we're doing all right.
Yeah. Well, I was watching videos last night from folks here in town who went to the Eric Church concert. He did two concerts. He did Friday and Saturday. And I guess he's doing this across the country. And for those of you not familiar with Eric Church, he's a big country music star. And he puts on a really good show. I've talked to many people who have gone to his concerts. And look, I get it. Not everybody's a country music fan. As Jed Marshall, who used to work on weekends, will tell you, he does not like country music. And that's fine.
I also agree with that sentiment. I'm not a country music guy. I think I went to one country music show. So it was like my sophomore year of high school. The Kenny's Chesney show was a big deal. And the only reason why I went was because I got free tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
And the only reason why I went was because of the free tickets my friend had gotten. And actually, Eric Church was there. And he was pretty good, actually.
And I tell you what, I tell this to people because there's a running joke. As somebody made a joke on Twitter years ago, and it kind of stuck with me. If you're going to a party and you're a country music fan, you'll tolerate any other kind of music. But if you don't like country music, you will not take country music. You will not listen to it. You will not accept it. And I always thought that was kind of funny, but... Look, I've been to, Chris, I've been to two Kenny Chesney concerts at Arrowhead Stadium. And I don't know if I've had a better time at a show in my life. Other than when I went to Guns N' Roses, just because it was kind of like, okay, we're here to play the hits. We're going to play everything you like. And that's it. We're out. We're not playing anything new. But Kenny Chesney concerts, it's a party. That's what it is. It's a beach party with country music.
I mean,
and it's fantastic.
The party part was more why I went than the actual music that was being played.
Yes!
Honestly.
and that's okay. It's just welcome to the party. If you want to listen, you don't have to. You don't have to participate. But we're here to party. And last night, the folks I talked to, who went to the Eric Church concert for the last couple of nights, were like, this is phenomenal. The guy just, you know, struts around the stage, and the stage was set up. I got a video, and the stage was set up in a way where he could walk almost halfway out into the crowd. And so everybody got a chance to see him, and it was awesome. And if you went to the Eric Church concert, tweet at me. Give me your impressions at Brad K. Porter, at Brad K. Porter. But the Kenny Chesney concert, the first one I went to at Arrowhead Stadium, they started playing his, and I think Tim McGraw opened, and he was phenomenal, by the way. Him and his wife are just phenomenal. But so they started playing his opening song, And I was up in way behind the stage, and he pops up in the middle of the crowd, like where the buses are set up to control the lights and the sound, and he plays all the way through the crowd. And so, Chris, I'm just asking you, I mean, you know, of all the young musicians that you like or that you listen to, I mean, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I mean, if that's, you know, kind of what you're looking for, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people, like the people I listen to, the bands I listen to, a lot of people, when I tell them, like, oh, who do you listen to? And I'm like, I don't want to be like a music snob, but like a lot of the people, when I say, oh, I listen to this band, they don't know who they are. So they always, like, whenever someone asks me about music and I try to like tell them who I like and who I listen to and who I enjoy, a lot of the people don't know who I'm talking about, 'cause they're not like in, you know, like on top 40 radio or like blah, blah, you know, whatever it may be.
Yes. Well, I think that's where I fall into the trap, because I don't listen to a lot of the modern stuff unless it's, you know, I listen to some of the rap and the hip hop because, you know, Chris, that's who I am. So you kind of have to find your lane in discussing music and what you like and what you don't like. But, Eric Church puts on a good show, and by all accounts, everybody in Kansas City who saw his shows the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday, had a really good time. So Eric Church and your band and your crew, big thumbs up. We're just about out of time. Want to thank everybody who was on the show today. Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, talking Chiefs and franchise tag on Dee Ford and Justin Houston. I want to thank David Leske from Baseball Prospectus, talking Royals. He's out in spring training, staying out of the snow. Want to thank Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com, talking K-State basketball and Big 12. And thanks to Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com, which you can hear tonight, Sporting KC, tonight at 7:30 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks to Chris Bollig. My name is Brad Porter, and you've been listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB.